as I sit here and drink beer or rum or something, my brain doesn't think of anything else but what I do, so I get very quick at what I'm making. Sometimes I haven't even got totally drunk so that I can't even stand up. But most of the time I'm just gathering energy, I'm watching the ceiling and doing nothing, and then I do everything very fast.
The delirious visions solving problems.
Projekti selline väike selline kunstiprojekt eri mõttes.
Some things still need a solution.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to...
Ta ei helistan sulle ka.
Ei ole helistanud, jah. Nüüd on telefon.
Recorder, kas hii...
Tee üks klõps veel.
Välguga,
jah. Nagu selle flashiga on siis. Aha. Okei. Okay.
Something like that.
Hello, my name is Andras Leo. I live in Tallinn, Estonia. I'm a composer, musician, also a visual artist and independent curator. I'm 32 years old, male. I'm a drummer originally, and so I think in rhythms a lot. And then I started singing, and a whole new world opened.
Millal naeran valgel, millal lähen koju, millal panen pead sinu sülle, millal lähen koju, millal, 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 millal lähen koju. Millal näen valget, millal, ütle millal, 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 millal lähen koju.
I just love the sounds, actually. It's just, I just found the perfect set with six different MIDI instruments on this simple program for the amateurs, the Logic Express. Well, I prefer a simple program, simple means for producing music or, well, any kind of artistic production.
And the melody is dying.
I think that had a slight medieval feeling, even though, I mean, it was very simple, right? I mean, anybody could play a melody like that, but it's like the human timing there, and since it was just a little improvisation, you know, basically recorded like 15 minutes ago, that's you know.
Could you just recorded it now?
Yeah, I just recorded it while you were taking the interview outside. That's like an improvisation. That's not a real track or song or anything. It's just an idea. Especially lately, I tend to lean on some musical traditions, namely Arvo Pärt in my music as well. I sort of started listening to Arvo Pärt through Andrei Tarkovsky because I'm going to curate an event called Stalking Stalker, because the movie Stalker was shot in Tallinn. So I was going through as many materials as possible and found out that Arvo Pärt has dedicated a whole album called Arbos for the memory of Andrei Tarkovsky in 1987. I adore empty spaces. I mean, it's already too many things around here, you know. But the other room is just marvelous. I know the time when the sunshine is peeking in every day, like evening. It's about 7 o'clock or 8 or something. And there's a certain moment when the sunbeams are exactly on a 90 degree angle towards the walls, yeah? Basically, it's like a meditational moment. I just go there, have a cigarette or something for 5 minutes, then, you know, it's tilted already. I adore those moments. Thank you. well, my future plans are pretty much connected with this huge cultural center soon to be opened on the coastline of Tallinn, like a 10 minutes walk from the old town, the center of the city, where I want to open a sort of a creative environment, a space that will be called Vitamin Loft, which is a space for creating and exhibiting visual arts, but also musical or TV productions, anything that would enhance the cultural life in Estonia. It might have a potential of, you know, becoming a meeting point for people from abroad, not only for the local. Yeah, that's the idea.
The symptom of East in Estonia is that we don't know, are we East or not.
I have seen Soviet time. Many people haven't. And it was quite poor time. And it, when the Soviet era ended, then all kind of possibilities came. And life changed very fast everywhere outside.
The concept of time is different in, well, at least in Estonia. That's the treasure. We have time.
No one really does anything. Everyone could do everything. So that if anyone is doing anything, he's like a big person. Because he's doing something.
I think that is a symptom of the East. I'm quite sure about it. But more I cannot say.
Maybe the symptom of the East is still a certain simplicity or naivety, maybe some ruins of idealism, but I don't think I have a very clear answer for the question.
Olen Andres ja artist nimi on Tenku ja olen Eesti nukufilmi stuudio animaator ja reisjär.
My name is Andres. My artist name is Tenku. My job is animator in a puppet movie studio called Nukufilm.
Otseselt mitte, aga põhimõtteliselt sellised soundi ma kasutan küll, jah, mis on nagu, kui ma salvestan ise, siis ma teengi mingid pihikesi sellised soundi, noh. Ja siis ütleme, nendest me ehitame midagi muud suurt välja, püüa vähemalt ehitada.
Making animation is using such kind of small sounds.
Et ma saan oma helid ja inspiratsiooni kõik nagu animatsioonis liikumis, ma nagu hommikust õhtin nagu tegelen sellega tegelikult.
He doesn't go to make sound recordings in forest and birds singing and so on. But he will get his inspiration of sounds working with animation from the morning to the evening.
It's like a source material for the sounds, and just recording this to a computer and then editing a little bit. And then
walking.
Aga muusikas nagu püüan ka nagu leida improviseerivaid nagu vahendeid, et
in music he wants to find all the time new sounds, visual as well, new material which already dictates how it's possible to use this
material. See on ka nagu osa improvisatsioonist minu jaoks.
Can you play some samples for us?
Et see ei ole tehtud, see on minu vanaisa mängitud, aga eelmise minu tehtud.
This is played by his grandfather.
See on minu teekõrnud.
This is by himself. Grandfather's talk.
Töötlemata nagu jupid.
Samples from a poet Kristiina Ehin.
Aga kasutasin Katrin Essensoni hääli.
This is the voice of Katrin Essenson.
Ja sellest tuli see lugu.
And this is the track where he's using these samples.
Tegin Björgile, Njoobele, Animal Collectivele, Rovole remixid ja siis saatsin neile meilid, et kui ei sobi see lugu, siis öelgu ja nad ei vastanud mulle, juu siis sobis.
He made remixes of Björk, Njoobi and Animal Collective and Rovo and they sent letters to them asking if you don't like these tracks, then just say that you don't like. But he didn't got any answers, so silence means that
they like it. Can you just play to me the remix for Björk?
Shoo, 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 shoo.
lütikas lütikas liugule jääl, naksedal mereks ära läks ajal, tulid pioneerid, tegid pai, nutikas lütikas terveks sai ja seal vahel oli siis mingisugune tekst veel.
I can't translate it.
Yeah, just what is it about generally?
About smart
flea.
No, ta ei ole päris see, aga
see kind of small creature who is
Wanze. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the name is, but it's something like a flea, huh? Flea? Is he jumping high?
He doesn't fly. No, it's just on the wall and under the bed of
bug. Yeah. Wanze. Mm.
And the pioneers who did
on the hair.
Yes.
Laus.
See ei terveks, ta oli kukkunud seal loos kuidagi vist hea hukku või oli talv lihtsalt.
Pioneers cured this small bloodsucker.
Who cured it?
Pioneers.
Pioneers?
Yes.
Communist pioneers?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, okay. Cured means they killed them.
No, they healed or...
Umbes, et ta oli talv ja ta külmetus.
I guess it was winter and it was cold. And they, it's not very logical, but
okay.
See the dog. I brought the dog there.
Ah, again a dog.
Yeah.
It was the same.
Yeah.
It's your dog?
No. Can you see? I opened the next door. This door wasn't so interesting for you.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Reinhard Jansis. Reinhard Jansis in Estonian. I am a composer, producer, guitar player, a multi-instrumentalist. And if I would be so cool that I could introduce my work in few sentences, then I probably wouldn't do it anymore.
So this is my instrument here. It's a
24 channel recording
machine. I'm the only independent producer in Estonia who has this kind of tool. Actually, there are only two of those in Estonia, and one is here. So we are
super.
In my studio at the moment. So, yeah.
And what kind of mixing desk is this?
Modify. It's lots of famous records done with this desk. I think that a few King Crimson records are done only with this desk. And yeah, two or three synthesizers I have.
This is a Russian one?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. Polyvox, yeah. This makes really good sounds, but it's really hard to control it. But that's what I like about it. So it has its own life. You never know what it does, actually. So... Before I met you, I was just recording the organ. So, yeah. That's the music what I normally do. It's working, or? Yeah, it's working.
Hot tubes. Thank you.
two people doing that? Or?
Two people, yeah. This is actually the live gig we played with Antonis. This project or band is called 1-1. So
This is with the Greek guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still have an argument about how to write it, because he wants to write it 1-1 as the one word, and then two O's are big. And I would just simply put number one, this slash, and one.
Sest et noh, siis on lärmab, muidu kole palju lärmab.
Okei, aga ma juba võtsin ära, lasta olla. Et, well, get my tuned piano detuned. Okei, nüüd sa võid nüüd rahulikult äärestada, et me lähme teise tuppa.
No
jah. So, actually, this is really getting this piano in tune, because I need to record for my new song, and this piano is not really getting really into tune. I don't have to be afraid that it's going to be too much in tune. So we go there and mm-hmm. you probably will hear some noises. You know, hopefully they will be recorded. Mm-hmm. We are doing this interview. Oh, fuck. Okay, I got the... from the German friend SMS that I play tonight at Taheles, third floor.
You didn't know that before?
No. I even don't know who sent me SMS at the moment.
Yeah, you have to go there tonight?
Taheles is in Berlin.
How do you get there now?
I won't. That is the all the trick, you know. My last track, what I have been working on, I recorded it in Germany with this German movie actor, Nadezhda Brenike. Mm-hmm. Somehow I was just living in her ranch. She's raising horses there. And so I was watching the Twin Peaks. And do you remember this part of the film? There was the old woman who had the log, like a baby, mm-hmm. you know. Mm. This log wanted to tell the story to Sergeant Cooper. And then I listened and said, but this is the song text. This is the song text. What the log is telling, it's a song text. So in 1 hour, we had the song recorded. I have been living in Berlin, and
of course, you know, we can't compare like a old cultural center of Europe to Estonian capital, you know, like it's obviously more there, you know, but small places very often have also their own advantages, you know, like in terms that everything is more concentrated, some things go actually faster, the scene is more compact, you know, have better contact to the people, it's more together everything, you know, like it's actually easier here to find the audience. I have been living in Berlin. Listen now to the sound of polybox. This is famous Russian synthesizer, actually. Oh! This noise generator I really like on this. That's the real life of the musician.
Why are the keys so yellow? It seems they used to be white, no?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I bought it like this.
All these crackles, they are arrows, or are they meant to be like this here?
Yeah, these are arrows, yeah. For this, I like this instrument, that you can get all these things out of it, yeah. For noise stuff, it's excellent. Something in between piano and this, that you have both sounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One like on the door, one from this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
This would be probably like we would play together.
Okay.
I think improvising is very simple. Improvising basically is that you try to find out how many different ways are there to make the same thing. So that's all.
De opmerkzame antilope. Lang geleden leefde in een bos bij de Indiase stad Varanasi een prachtige en intelligente antilope, die alleen fruit at dat van de bomen viel en geen andere levende wezens kwaad wilde doen. In hetzelfde deel van het bos hield zich een jager op, die volledig in tegenstelling daarmee zijn brood verdiende door de dieren van het bos te doden. De sluwe jager had ontdekt dat hij in de takken van de grote fruitbomen een stellage kon bouwen en dieren kon spietsen als die bij het fruit kwamen eten dat was gevallen. De dieren zouden dan niet op hun hoede zijn, want ze waren eraan gewend om op de grond naar vijanden te kijken en niet in de boom. De jager vond een sepani-boom waarvan de rijpe vruchten net begonnen te vallen en hij zag dat er verse antilopensporen waren rond de boom en andere bewijzen dat daar een dier naar voedsel zocht. De jager vond het een goede plek om een van zijn stellages te bouwen. Hij haalde de noodzakelijke benodigdheden, klom in de boom en bouwde een stellage op een gedeelte dat volgens hem goed aan het zicht van de dieren onttrokken werd. Maar de jager de gelegenheid gaf om zijn speer naar het doel te werpen. Hij bouwde de stellage zodanig dat hij rechtop kon staan en met alle kracht zijn speer kon gooien zonder zijn evenwicht te verliezen. De jager wist zorgvuldig alle sporen uit die aangaven dat hij daar hard aan het werk was geweest. En de volgende ochtend kwam hij heel vroeg voor zonsopgang en nam zijn plaats op de stevige stellage in. Hij moest heel lang wachten, maar zijn geduld werd beloond. Door de bomen heen zag hij een antilope op de sepani toe lopen. Het was dezelfde antilope die daar ook de voorgaande dagen was geweest. Ze vond het zoete, rijpe fruit van de sepani heerlijk en at er al verschillende jaren van. Bij het naderen van de boom viel haar een ongewone geur op. Niet de geur van het rijpe fruit, maar een lichte geur van wat wel eens een mens kon zijn. Ze bleef stokstijf staan en liep niet verder. De jager zag dat ze stilhield en vroeg zich af wat er aan de hand kon zijn. Hij wachtte een tijdje en de antilope bleef op dezelfde plek staan om uit te vinden of het de geur van een mens was die ze geroken had. De antilope was voor de jager te ver weg om zijn speer te kunnen werpen, dus hij besloot om de antilope dichter naar de boom te lokken. Hij pakte wat rijpe vruchten van de sepani en gooide ze voorzichtig in de richting van de antilope. Dat was voor de antilope meer dan voldoende om er zeker van te zijn dat er iets mis was. En met haar uitstekende gezichtsvermogen ontdekte ze dat zich achter de bladeren van de boom een mens schuil hield. Ze besloot om de draak te steken met de dwaasheid van de jager. Ze zei: grote sepani-boom, dit is heel ongebruikelijk. Normaal gesproken valt je fruit altijd recht op de grond, maar vandaag komt het naar me toe gevlogen. Gewoonlijk vallen de vruchten heel onregelmatig, maar vandaag vallen er bijna tegelijkertijd 3 naar beneden, hoewel het niet waait. Geweldige boom, omdat je je niet meer gedraagt als een boom, zal ik vandaag niet onder jouw takken eten, maar zal ik op zoek gaan naar een boom die zich wel als boom gedraagt. Ze draaide zich om en wilde weglopen. De jager was woedend dat hij zo werd bespot en stond op van zijn stellage, wierp zijn speer die 3 meter voor het doel neerkwam. Maak dat je wegkomt, je weet me vandaag te ontsnappen, maar een volgende keer zal mijn speer wel doel raken, zo schreeuwde hij haar toe. De antilope draaide zich nog 1 keer om met de woorden: jager, misschien moet je nog eens goed nadenken over je manier van leven. Iedereen die door dit soort bedrog, iedereen die dit soort bedrog uithaalt om de zachtaardige dieren van het bos te doden, zal uiteindelijk een erg vrede beloning opstrijken. Ik zou mijn daden van vandaag nog maar eens overdenken.
Simba dabei.
Und George ist Sergeant geworden.
Doch die Armee, sie fragt kein, wer er sei.
Und marschierte hinauf nach dem Norden.
Soldaten wohnen auf den Kanonen. Vom Kap bis Grauschnehaar.
Wenn es mal regnete
und es begegnete
ihnen eine neue Rasse,
ne braun oder blasse,
da machen sie vielleicht daraus ihr Beefsteak Tartar.
Johnny war der Whisky zu warm
und Jimmy hatte nie genug Decken.
Aber Georgie nahm beide beim Arm
und sagte, die Armee darf nicht verrecken.
Soldaten wohnen auf den Kanonen, vom Kap bis Grauschnehaar.
Wenn es mal regnete
und es begegnete
ihnen eine neue Rasse,
ne braun oder blasse,
dann machen sie vielleicht daraus ihr Beefsteak Tartar.
John ist gestorben und Jimmy ist tot.
Und Georgie ist vermisst und verdorben.
Aber Blut ist immer noch rot.
Für die Armee wird jetzt wieder geworben.
Soldaten wohnen auf den Kanonen. Vom Kopf bis Grauschnehaar.
Wenn es mal regnete
und es begegnete
ihnen eine neue Rasse,
ne braun oder blasse,
dann machen sie vielleicht daraus ihr Beefsteak Tartar.
Tiger Brown verabschiedet sich schnell. Er hat für die Krönungsfeierlichkeiten zu tun, die am nächsten Tage stattfinden. Nachdem auch die Banditen gegangen sind, beginnt die Hochzeitsnacht. Hören Sie Pollys und Max. Liebes.
Earth Search, a 10-part adventure serial in time and space by James Follett. The Starship Challenger has returned to its home solar system after an interstellar exploration mission lasting 115 years. Its crew of four were born on the Challenger and have never seen Earth. The ship's guardian angels, having brought the four out of suspended animation, break the news to them that the Earth has vanished. Earth Search, Part 2, First Footprint City.
Retro 8 vectored at 30 degrees.
Retro 8 vectored at 30 degrees.
Hydrogen sweeps.
Retracted.
5% thrust on 8. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and cut.
Moon orbit stabilized, Commander.
Thank you, Astra.
An excellent piece of maneuvering, Commander Telson.
Not bad, considering we've never done it before.
Very creditable, Commander.
Any response to our beacon?
Total radio silence, Commander.
That's not possible. Look at the size of that city down there. And there's another one on the Terminator. At least 50,000 people
must live down. Commander, there's no radio traffic across all bands, and there's no sign of activity on the moon's surface. The place is dead.
That's impossible.
So is the disappearance of Earth.
Angel 1 and 2, is there the slightest chance there's been a navigation error and we've not returned to our solar system?
Neither Angel 2 or myself can account for the disappearance of the Earth or the increase in the sun's brightness, Commander Telson. But there is no doubt that the Challenger has returned home.
What home?
I qualify my statement. I mean the Challenger's home solar system.
Well, that's the moon, all right. The topography is a perfect match.
What's the matter, Darth?
Well, that city we saw on the first orbit, it's vast. In the 115 years that the Challenger's been away, development on the moon has gone ahead at a fantastic pace.
Well, from what I've read about Earth, I thought that was normal.
There's got to be someone down there. Angel 1, I'm going to voice broadcast on every channel.
The Challenger's beacons have been doing that for 3 hours, Commander Telson.
I don't care what the beacons have been doing.
Very well, Commander. Go ahead. All channels are open.
This is the Starship Challenger calling the moon. We, the crew, are the four surviving grandchildren of the original crew that left the solar system on an exploration mission of the universe 115 years ago. Our planetary landing shuttles were destroyed in a meteoroid strike just after we were born. Therefore, we have never left the Challenger in our lives. There is no danger of our introducing new virus strains. I repeat, we have never been able to leave the ship in our lives. Quarantine precautions are not required. Please send a disembarkation shuttle to collect us. Over. Keep repeating that message, Angel One.
I've got that city on maximum resolution. You see that transparent dome? It was probably a farm. Now there's nothing growing. There are some sort of ground effects vehicles on those trackways leading across the plain.
But no sign of movement.
A dead world again, just as it used to be.
If there's no one down there, it
there's
means...
There's bound to be someone. Look, it'll take at least 10 orbits to make a complete survey.
But if there's no one and there's no Earth, the thought that one day we'll see our Earth, breathe its atmosphere, I think it's the one thing that stopped me from going insane.
We all feel the same, Astra, you know that.
We were born on the Challenger. Now it looks as if we'll die on the Challenger. Hmm? Oh, what is it you want, Dove?
I can't sleep either. I saw that your favourite hologram had been accessed from the library, so I guess that you're awake.
I haven't played it. There just doesn't seem any point in gazing at scenes of the Earth anymore. What do you think's happened to the Earth, Dove?
Well, if there is an answer, we'll find it on the moon.
Except that there's no one there to send a shuttle up to us, and we haven't got a shuttle for a lunar landing.
Mm. Let's go on an exploration.
What, now?
Yeah, just like we used to when we were kids. Look, there are regions of this ship that we've never been to, according to the old plans in the library.
Oh, you're crazy. It's night period. All the lights will be out.
Oh, come on.
Oh, all right. Give me a minute to get dressed. Let's go back now, Dove, please. You never said anything about going into a forbidden zone.
We haven't reached one yet.
We're in an uncontrolled zone. We've passed the markers.
We climbed 2 levels, so this must be level 8. It's this way.
What is? Dove, stop! There's a forbidden zone marker.
Oh, forbidden zone. Shall I tell you what that symbol means? It means that the area beyond the bulkhead can be decompressed, and that access through the bulkhead is by means of airlocks. It's as simple as that. Shine the torch down that passage. Yeah, that must be it. Come on.
Have you been down here before?
Yes, once, but I didn't know where it led to. I think I do now. This is it. The entrance to an airlock.
Angel One and Two must know we're here, Dove.
Those angels are machines. They've no sensory terminals in this area, which is why they've said it's a forbidden zone and that it's dangerous.
Have you been through the airlock?
No.
Do you know what's on the other side of the bulkhead? You don't, do you?
I've not been able to access all the plans of the ship. Either the memories have been damaged or the angels have imposed a block. There's only one way to find out. Come on.
It could be a vacuum on the other side of the airlock. It could open up into a section that was damaged in the great meteoroid strike.
In which case, the airlock won't open. Please, Astra.
You'll report whatever we find to Commander Telson.
Yes.
Airlock control, please state environment required in the excursion terminal.
A voice that doesn't belong to one of our beloved angels. Please state environment options, airlock control.
Gravity, 0 to 1. Atmospheric pressure, 0 to 1.
Gravity, 1. Atmospheric pressure, 1, please, airlock control. Oh, that sounds promising. Equalization would be impossible if the hull was damaged.
Dove, I'm frightened. We ought to go back and tell Shana and Telson.
Environment stabilized. Temperature will be at normal in 5 minutes, but it is safe to enter the excursion terminal without space mobility suits.
Good. Right. Ah, you're right, Astra. We'd better report this to Telson and Shana immediately.
It doesn't matter what our plans were, Number Two.